Let's say some things together. Let's say, Happy Thanksgiving. Let's say, it's great to be here. Let's say, preach. There you go. There we go. We're going to do that. Man, we look like a group that's been well fed. I don't know. Just speaking for myself, I know it's true. It started a week ago, and it continued through the week. I'm sure there's a element of fasting that needs to happen soon. My body's not reacting well to some of the things I've overdosed on in the last few weeks. Days, primarily sugar things. How many of y'all had some good pie? There you go. Sorry if you didn't. Come to my house. Oh. It's good to be here, though. It's good to be here and with you guys. I want to begin reminding us that we're in a series that's going to end today. What? And I want to tell you ahead of time that in January, we're going to start a series that's going to last a while. But I'm very excited about it. I've been getting ready for it for a while, and it's on the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to begin there, and then in January, we're going to kind of build up to that over the next few weeks. Next week, we're going to have Jessica Weaver's going to be here, and we're going to hear some good things from her. And so excited about what's happening, but also beginning in January, that series on the Sermon on the Mount. But we've been talking here about the things we do, and why do we do them? And you guys remember, perhaps, the story of the checklist and the pot roast, and the idea of the pot roast, why do we make it this way? You know, the daughter asks the mom, and the mom says, well, that's because that's the way your grandmother made it. And we go on and on and on, and finally find out that the great-great-grandmother had a pan that didn't fit the whole pot roast. So we're going deeper than that. More than just because mama said so. You know, a lot of things, the only good reason to do it is because mama said so, and that's good enough. You're right? Okay, sometimes doing what mama said just because mama said it, that's good enough. Don't need to go any farther than that. But sometimes we want to hear maybe just a little bit more about why we do the things we do. And so today we're going to talk about the idea, why do we value, preach, and study the Bible, this book. If you have a Bible, I would like for you just to hold it up. Now see, there you go. You've got some phones being held up. And now, back when I was a little kid growing up, we would do this in class, and then we'd have a chart over here to the side with your name on it, right? And then the teacher, if you held your Bible up, you'd get a star. Any of y'all ever have that kind of situation going on? Have a little star. I love stars. I thought that was what it was all about, was getting a star. So I brought my Bible. And really, I'm thinking that, again, that goes back to something Mama probably said. That's why we should do it. But we're going to go a little bit deeper today into why do we value, why do we preach, why do we study the Bible? Now, think about this. The series that we've already come through to get to this point, why do we do the things we do? What are some of those things? Okay, just remind us of what were some of those things. Can you do that? Sing, baptize, go a little slower. I'm going to repeat them. What are some of the things? We sing, we baptize, what else? We take communion. We pray. Yeah, we talked about doing this weird thing. I called it the good confession. You know, we say that Jesus is Lord. We do it in a lot of ways. But all of those things, we got our basis, the foundation for doing those things came from the Bible, right? I mean, that's what we did. That's what Danny did. Man, Danny did such a thorough job of why do we baptize? Well, Because the Bible says this. And why do we take communion? Well, it's because, you know, the Bible did this. And sometime we go back to the history of it. And Jeremy did a great job of talking about how it connected to the Passover, which, again, we understand what the Passover is from what? The Bible. Yeah, everything kind of comes back to ground zero, the Bible. And so today we're going to say, why? Why is that? And so we're going to do this in a couple of different ways. We're going to have a couple of different speakers today. And we've already actually heard from them, but we're going to hear from them again, Sally and Sarah. But I want to read a little bit of the Bible as we talk about why we value the Bible. So Hebrews says this about the Word of God. I'm going to get to this idea of what's the Word of God in a minute. In chapter 4, it says, "For the Word of God is alive and active." Just to think of that, that's sort of where we're going to jump off. It's alive and it's active. But here's the thing, you know, it's like, why is Bob smart? Well, because Bob said he is. You know, why do we study the Bible? Because the Bible says to. You see what I'm saying here? Well, maybe there might be a reason outside of the Bible that we should value the Bible. Maybe. But that sounds even weird to preach. Like, I'm going to preach from some foundation other than the Bible. The Bible says it's good, and I'm just going to go with the Bible, what it says about itself. But maybe not. So we're going to dive a little bit into what I'm going to call a brief history. And you see where we're going, you're going to see where we're going to end up with this is you. Now then, if you have a handout, there's a blank there where it says you. Don't write 1953 unless you were born in 1953. Because this was my handout here, the one that's on the screen is mine. So when were you born? 1953. Well, no, you might not have been. How many of you were born in 1953? Vicky and Steve and I, let's have a party. Okay, we get Medicare and Social Security, all that. But we're not going to start there, we're going to end there. So we're going to start with, you know, Jesus came, we believe, and he walked around and was on the earth for a while. And there was things written that were called the Bible that he called the Scripture before he showed up. And that was what we're going to call the Old Testament, right? And then Jesus walked around and people wrote stories about him. A guy, Matthew did, and Mark did, and Luke did, and John did, and they wrote some stories about him. And then Paul, apostle of Jesus, wrote some letters, and they got passed around and distributed. But then they didn't have a Bible. You know, Jesus, the Bible he had was the Old Testament. And even at that, sometimes they didn't have all the different synagogues where they would learn about the Bible. They didn't even have all the books all the time. Sometimes they just had Isaiah, or sometimes they just had the Torah, but they would, which is the first five books. And they'd read this to each other. They'd memorize the best they could, but they didn't necessarily have all of that. Even when Jesus came, every little town and village synagogue didn't. They did in Jerusalem, where they'd all come and they'd all kind of learn it together. And then Jesus came, and churches began popping up all over the place. And so we're going to have churches pop up all over the place right now. And I'm going to ask some of you to stand up and be a church. So Kevin, you're going to stand up, Kevin. You're going to be Rome, okay? You're going to be Rome over here. And Georgie, you're going to stand up. You're going to be Jerusalem, okay? And then Steve, you're going to stand up. Come on, this Steve in the back. And Steve, you're going to be Ephesus, okay? Now, you guys, you are a church, and you're a bunch of Christians in this church, and you're a bunch of Christians in this church, and some of you have letters and stories from, like, you're from, where are you? Rome. You've got this book of Matthew, and you read it, and then you've got a letter from Paul called Romans, so you're reading Matthew and Romans, and to you, that's the Bible. But you don't know nothing about John, okay? You don't know nothing about the Revelation, but you do. Because you're in Ephesus and you've got all of John's stuff and you've got some stuff from Paul, but not what he's got from Paul. And some of you got some, but you don't got the whole thing. And you've got only, all you've got is the Gospel of Mark. That's all you got. And then, but you got a lot of stories because people, you are where everything started here in Jerusalem. So you got lots of stories. Okay, sit back down. And this is kind of how it was. You didn't know the Bible. They didn't have a Bible at your synagogue. You had a couple of people who might have had a letter and they'd come read it to you. Okay? But then we started sharing. And, you know, Kevin started sharing over here with Steve. And the letters got passed around. But the question was, what really counts? Which books really count? Okay, because some of the Jews even, they didn't like Ecclesiastes, like some of y'all didn't either when we were studying that, right? And so some of them didn't like that, so they didn't want that to get into the Bible. Some of them didn't like Song of Solomon. They didn't want that to get in the Bible either. But, you know, so they, what they would do is, when they would make decisions that was kind of going to be for everybody, and we read about this in the Bible, Acts, in Acts 15, they would get together and say, what counts? You know, what really counts? What are we going to say? This is the way, well, this is the rules we're going to follow. Okay, that's what they did in Acts 15. And they got together and they called it a little council. And they kept having those councils even after people quit writing the Bible, the letters. And these councils would kind of come together and they'd make some suggestions that some people took as rules. And finally, in 397, you're going to write that under the canon, there was a council of Christian churches from everywhere. They came to meet and they decided these 66 books, that's what's going to be the Bible. So this group of men, you're going to write 397, see, that's not your birthday, that's the birthday of the Bible, as we know it. 66 books, and that's what everybody, all the Christians were going to say, yeah, that's good. Now still, most Christians didn't have a Bible, and a lot of them didn't even know how to read. And for sure, the Bible was in what language? Well, it was in Greek, and then it got translated pretty quick into Latin. And for about 1,000 years after this 397, the language of the Bible was Latin and Greek. And it depended if you where you lived on where what your Bible was in Latin or Greek. But where we're all from, because we're all from America, right here, if we trace back our ancestors, they were on the Latin side of the Bible. And so for about 1,000 years, it was in Latin. And you know, how many of y'all in here speak Latin? Well, that's the same amount of people who spoke Latin in most of Europe, where most of our background comes from, right? Okay. Are you with me? It's a little history lesson here. And so what happened is people didn't have a Bible, but they went to church, and they would expect the teacher or the priest, who is the teacher in most of their churches, would teach them the Bible. And they began to do some things that once some guys translated the Bible for themselves from Latin to German and then also to French and then also to English, they saw, oh my gosh, the church is not doing what the Bible says. We've been trusting these priests to teach us, and they've been teaching us the wrong stuff. And so they translated the Bible into German, and they translated it into French, and they translated it into English. And some guys did this, and this was called, led up to the Reformation. Okay. Now, John Wycliffe did it about 100 years before the Reformation in English. And John, there's a Wycliffe Society that now goes all over the world still translating the Bible into the language of the people. All that's happening even right now. Because even today, some people can't find a Bible in their own language. They can, well, okay, yeah. So in 1517, I'm calling that when the Reformation started. College started a little bit before that. But, you know, this is when Martin Luther whacked his disagreements he nailed it to the door. And so John Calvin and Martin Luther, they were causing a stir here in the Reformation. And here's what they came out with, these four kind of guidelines. And in Latin, it was be sola Christo, which means only Christ. And then they go sola, and one would be gratio, which means only grace. And then it's sola fide, which would be only faith. So it's Christ and it's grace and it's faith. Because these things were not what the Catholic Church was teaching, but this is what these reformers taught. And then it was sola scriptura. And one of the ways one of them, John Wesley, put it was like this, that the church is always judged by the scripture, not the scripture by the church. Or another way, say led. The church should always be led by scripture. The church should be led by scripture, not scripture led by the church. Does that, you understand that what he's trying to say there? That, and so for us, our roots, our foundation, for most of the people who are in this room have this Protestant or, you know, non-Catholic background where we say scripture is the most important thing. That comes the final authority on how we should do things. We have scripture to look at and say, we're going to go by what the Bible says. Now, then that's a difficult thing because, you know, the way the Bible says, and this is what happened with the Reformation, what we thought was, we're going to reform this church because it's not going by what the Bible says. And this sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? Let's do what the Bible says. And so we all got Bibles. Everybody got a Bible. And the thing is, you'd look at your Bible and you'd read it this way and you said, this is what the Bible says. And somebody over here says, I'm reading it and this is what the Bible says. And we're going to do it different. Even that. Wow, we're different. And yet, us, and this goes to you, somewhere in there, look in your work, on your handout, somewhere after you were born, someone taught you that the Bible is the foundation of what we do in our faith, in our Christianity, in our life with God. Did someone teach you that? Sally, did someone teach you that? Who was the person that taught you that? Did y'all hear her? So it goes back to what Mama said. But some of you, it wasn't your mom. How many of you, it wasn't your mom or dad who taught you that to love the Bible, that the Bible was how we're going to be led as Christians? Yeah, Jeanette, who was it? It was your grandmother. Some others. Anybody else? The church itself. Yeah, people in the church. Jeremy, it was your wife. Different people. And they said, this is what the Bible, this is why it's important. I want to say a couple things about what the Bible says about itself. Because the Bible says a lot of things about itself. What's it for? It's a book. And different books are different for different reasons. Mary Beth and I listened to a book on the radio, I mean on the CD, on the whatever it is that plays books in your car, that thing. We're listening to that. James Patterson, it was about murder and stuff. That's not the same kind of book as the Bible. But we listen, we read this Bible, and we have this Bible, and the Bible says some things about itself. What's it for? So one of the places, famously, it says things about itself is in Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, the Bible, the first nine verses, uses nine different Hebrew words to say what the Bible is. Nine different Hebrew words in nine verses. It says it's teaching or Torah or a law. And a lot of times people get hung up on this word Torah and law because it got translated into Greek from Torah to Greek nomos, which means law, like it's a speed limit or it's don't steal. And some of the Torah is like that, but most of it is teaching. It's instruction. It's more like, Torah is more like a recipe that your mother passed on to you, and you observed her doing it, right? You saw her living her life in a certain way. And then she said, you know why I live my life that way? Because I'm following these instructions that I found in the Bible about being kind, about being forgiving, you know? All right, this is how Jeanette's grandmother taught her. She taught her first by living her life, right? And then by saying, you know why I live my life this way? Because it's in the It's in the teaching. And in the Torah, in the Bible, are testimonies, are stories. You say stories. And so it's not just a list of rules. It's a story, and you deduct from reading this story that, you know, if you kill your brother, that's going to be bad. And so there's a story about Cain and Abel. It doesn't say don't kill, does that later. So it has a list, but then stories, or it calls testimonies. And then there's a way. And then there's all these different things, and I got a different sermon for those, but so because I want to get to this other part of the sermon today. All these things, though, the Bible says about itself. If you will read it, if you will listen to it, it does all these things. It shows you a way. It gives you some precepts, some understandings. It is a law. Part of it is like rules. Do this or this is going to happen. Some of it are commands. And it's a command. This word command to use here is like a military commander who's giving orders. And some of it is justice. It's about righteous, just judgments. And so if my two kids come and they're fighting, and I say, this is the way you should have done this, you should reconcile, and you know, you did steal your sister's doll, so you should give it back to her. This is what the idea of justice is. Okay? And then finally, it is the word, which word here means, what does God say? If God says it, that's the word. The word of God is things God says, and then usually things happen. But I want to talk about this. I want one of you to talk about it and have some examples. And so Sally, a year ago or a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, did a video. We asked her some questions about the Bible. And so we're going to listen to Sally talk about the Bible here for a second. And then after we do that, we're going to sing a song that comes straight out of this psalm, Psalm 119, about the Bible. It's a song about the Bible. And so here we go.
I grew up with my mom reading from a Bible story, same title, different edition, every day. We read, she read to us Bible stories. So I grew up loving hearing Bible stories, knowing the Bible stories. But as I grew older, I found that there's more than just knowing the Bible stories and hearing the stories, that God can use those stories to help you, to encourage you, to help you know how to live, to inspire you. So I have a couple of examples of how that's happened to me. First, and happened to me in really big ways in my life. I wanted babies so bad, but it took Owen and me 8 years before we had babies. And I remember coming home one night from a baby shower, just crying my eyes out because we had no babies. And then I remembered the story of Hannah. And Hannah, who had no babies, cried to God and asked God for a baby. So I thought, this is what I need to do. So I cried to God and asked God for babies. And now I have three babies.
To my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're the light unto my path. You're the light unto my path.
Bob, do you want me to go back?
No.
No? All right.
I don't. So Sally had some other stories that she told, but I don't care. I'm going to tell stories about Sally that she didn't tell, which sometimes that might be more fun for you, right? To hear stories I tell about Sally instead. So Sally was this kind of person. The idea that Psalm 119 says that the word of God is like a light into your path. It's like you have a path and you can't see it clearly. And the Word of God, if you understand and read the Word of God, that path opens up in front of you. There's a light that shines on it. Sally tells a story about her being in conflict with a church she used to go to and having a fear, not knowing where to go or what to do, and listening to God, listening to God's spirit leader, listening to the light shine on the path. There opened up a path for her to leave one church, which doesn't sound like something God would have you do, but sometimes he does. Leave one church and actually start another one. And here we are today. Amen? There was a light into her path. Here's why I know her best by, though. Sally, of my siblings and me, was the kind of person and kid especially, I don't know if she's this way now or not so much, but when there was something she thought was right to do, she would do it. Like the rest of us want to think about it a little while. You know what I mean? Let's think about that. That might not be the thing. And I can remember one of the ways she would also sometimes point out ways that you weren't doing the right thing. You know, if y'all ever have maybe had a sibling like that who is going to not only do the right thing herself, but wants to point out that you're not. One of the ways that, you know, I'm so glad she did this, but it always bothered her. And I grew up, you know, 1953, I was born. Man, there was some racial jokes and slurs that just went around, and we just passed them on. Well, that bothered Sally. You know why? Because that's not what the Bible would not light your path in that way. And so I would say something at the dinner table that I thought was funny. Some other people in my family, no names, they would think it was funny. But Sally, on the other hand, would, you shouldn't say that. I'm like, oh gosh, you know, why is she going to whoop out her Bible on me? But really, it was that kind of relationship she had with the Word of God. The light is shining on my path. I'm going to go there. I'm going to do that. The scriptures I have up next, though, are important. In the Word of God does these other things, too. First of all, in 2 Peter, and I'm going to read this out loud. The idea that this is not just what men say, this is not just the writers saying this, but it's actually the Spirit of God who's speaking to you when you're reading the Bible. And how God does that, through men still speaking, he's speaking to us, but through a person. And so he says this about himself. I mean, the Bible, Peter says this, verse 20. I'm just going to go straight to verse 20. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, who wrote Matthew? I'm always interested when someone says, well, you know what Jesus said. Well, no, I don't really. I know what Matthew says Jesus said, right? Well, Paul, had you rather listen to Paul or Jesus? Well, I kind of think the Holy Spirit's both of them, you know, because Matthew's the one who said what Jesus said. Does that make sense to you how that? But it's all from the Holy Spirit, the whole thing. That's what we're trusting, that this book is not just some guys got together and thought about what would be a good way to live and wrote it down. It was God's Holy Spirit guiding them the whole way. And so this is where we go in trust, that we're trusting that this is God's word, that this is not just some guys got together or over a period of years and centuries even were going to write a book like this, but it was actually God guiding them. In 2 Timothy, it says these words, and I don't know why I was thinking that maybe Michelle would be here today, because I was going to talk about Michelle Tackett and her parents, and Emily too. But this is chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. All these things, training in righteousness, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Michelle went to college on us, didn't she? Y'all all know Michelle used to sit here in the front row. Well, she went to college on us. You know? And here's the question I always wonder about kids who go to college. And this is probably what the Tacketts were thinking too. I wonder if she's ready. And you know, you kind of think so. Have you equipped her? Have you trained her for what's next? Is she thoroughly equipped for everything she's going to face? Well, what this says is that the Word of God equips us for life, for doing good things. It's for a purpose. It trains us to live life. I've received training in several different kinds of things. What the Bible is training is about life training. It's about training you how to live. And yet, it's more than that. It's more than that. And so we're going to have another video, another speaker, and Sarah's going to speak. And in Sarah's talk, there's some couple of things that I just like, takes my breath away for a second, because I thought, oh my gosh, she did that. And then she says something else, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she did that. There's two different things that I promise you, when I say them, you're going to say, that's unusual. And yet, what she comes out with is irreplaceable. And so I want you to listen to this. I'm going to make some comments about this one before we do the last song, okay?
I'm really glad that we're doing this. We're talking about this because it has to do with my story that has really been very pivotal in my life, and it's been foundational. And it is really what sustains me, even to this day. And it happened when I was 23 years old. And so I was newly married, fairly, you know, I've been married about 3 years. And I don't remember exactly what it was about, but we were having an argument. And Lee would never talk this way publicly, but when we had this argument, he said to me, you have to do this my way because you're the woman. And it hurt so much because it was who I was. And so I, though, in reaction, I had my Bible. And I said to him, I said, that's not what it's all about. And I said, in fact, if that's what it's all about, I want no part of it. And I took my Bible and I heaved it at him. And it bounced off his chest. And I think he was stunned by my reaction. And so he left. And I retrieved my Bible
And I went in the other room, and I was sobbing and crying and holding the Bible and telling God I was so sorry because I'd been willing to throw everything I believed in away. And I said, I don't know what it's all about. I don't know what it's all about. And so I think it was from God that God helped me to understand I can figure out what it's all about because I can read. And so I decided that I would read straight through the Bible. And so it must have been in the summer because I wasn't teaching at the time. And I read all day, every day, started in Genesis, read to Revelation, and I don't know how long it took me, but I do remember vividly. I remember finishing Revelation and closing it and thinking, the Bible is a love letter to me. And I thought, what is the biggest name? The biggest name I can think of for God. And I decided the master of the universe. And the master of the universe wrote a love letter to this woman. Isn't that amazing? That's it.
Two things, right? That took my breath away. First of all, she threw her Bible. I don't see Sarah, the person who's going to take her Bible and chunk it at someone. And the second thing, she read the whole Bible, just like sits down and reads the whole thing. But where she comes out, because the Bible is, it is instructional. It does give us paths to follow, ways to live. It gives us rules and instructions. It does that. But it's more than that. It tells us who we are. It gives us our identity. It tells me that I am a beloved son of God. And it happens as I read the whole story, kind of like the communion thoughts Sally had today, is that when I hear this story, this great love story, that God loved me so much. Now, he's also telling me there's a right way to live, a way that if you make the cake in the way that mama's instructions are, it'll turn out good. If you leave out stuff, it won't turn out well, right? The Bible does give you instructions about how to live, but it's more than that. It tells you who you are. And so why do we do the things we do around here? Why do we value the Bible? Because it tells us this great story of love that started before the beginning and ends after the end, you know? This is who we are. And reading the Bible and doing what it says changes us. It transforms us from the person we are to the person we are destined to become. We're all on this journey. And the Bible is the guide in this journey, reminding us how much we're loved and telling us who we are when we forget who we are. It's that story of love. And so we listen to the Bible not just to figure out, you know, how should we meet on Sundays or Saturdays, and not just to decide these kinds of, is it okay to use instruments when you worship? That's not the kind of instructions it's giving. It's giving instructions about how to decide, am I a child of God or am I out here on my own? And the good news is we're not on our own. We're not on our own. The good news of the story of the Bible is that the Creator God loved us and will love us always. And He's made a way for us to live now and to live forever. And so we highly value the Bible, and that's why we preach about it, and that's why we study it, and that's why we teach about it. Let's stand and sing. There'll be a closing thought after that.
Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
This batch of CDs in my house, or I'm sorry, DVDs. They're exercise videos, P90X. They're really, really good. They're really good. But unless I do the exercise, they don't help me at all. They're like zero. And so that's kind of, you know, it with the Bible. It takes more than just owning one. Takes more than just reading it, but actually doing what it says. And in that way, when we actually read it, do what it says, live the life, we become who we're meant to become. Let's go do that, okay?